It's a benefit to be my friend, but I need more friends with benefits.
I have a little more credibility than you. That's it. That's all I've got.
And scene, you guys. It's been a great episode, you guys. I'll see you later. Listen, it's Yandy's Girls. I don't know what episode it is. We're in the 300s. Often I will talk to our guest and make note of the fact that I'm in like episode 235, and my guest has to remind me that that's probably not mathematically accurate or updated. So I can't wait to be updated on what other facts he's got cooking. You know him as writer, producer, director, creator, showrunner, and Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Reunion truther. And welcome back to Andy's Girls, James LaRosa.
We did it, Joe. We got through. We did it.
Oh my God. Listen.
Fuck.
Oh my God. I am so excited to be talking to you about this because AGs who follow me on IG know, because I just posted a little bit about it. Like, I have watched BH Part 3, but the Kathy specific segment so many times. And then I just told you I took a 15-minute nap. I'm vehemently anti-nap. If there is a political stance that our country, our community, and our world can rally behind, I think it should be ending naps. But I accidentally took one. So I just woke up and I'm feeling very loopy. James, very, very loopy.
Well, that's very American. And as someone who's visited Europe quite a bit lately, I will say siestas are great. And if anyone wants to fall asleep right now and for the next hour, yes, we'll just coo in your ear all the little bon mots, yes, from this third episode of the reunion. And by the way, the last time I was here was after the season finale, which was not that long ago. So I feel like every time I come here, I'm wound up and ready to just fucking throw down. I would say over this show, but I want to say really with this show. Like, I think the show and I need to fight. Like, the actual show and I need to just go punching.
I'm so into that. And I do feel like it's a little bit of a full circle moment. I did not know that your episode of Andy's Girls was after the finale. I think people think I remember things, and it's like, I let this be the reminder. I definitely do not. But I think this is an important episode because in many ways, this is the episode we have all been gearing up for, even since pre-Aspen, honestly, maybe even since before the season, when we heard some shit had gone down and wanted to understand from both sides together what allegedly took place. So no pressure, but holy shit. But what's your first, I think we should just get into it.
I know. And I will say,
how can we not?
I always am interested whenever you do Andy's Girls and you have that sort of pre-conversation with the person and what their lives are like, and they had a really fun experience with a Q-tip. No, but listen, but whenever I do it, I'm like, nobody cares. And so now I'm so excited that nobody has to listen to anything about my life. We can just dive in. That was sincere.
I believe that. And you know, you're one of my very good friends, IRL. And I think that comes through on the episodes. And because you were just here, which I definitely remember.
Episode 300. It was, you said, you know what, James?
Yes.
This is the most important episode. And I will never forget that 300 is the one that I need you here for. Do you remember that conversation?
Yes.
Do you remember that? You're going to swear in a stack of Bibles. You're going to take a lie detector test. And I'm going to sip a water bottle passive aggressively while I say all of these things. Kathy showed up.
I mean, so what was, did you watch live?
I watched that night. I was at the world premiere of Black Panther. And so, but I came home exhausted and I still felt like I had to like get through the season. So even though I was sort of like, you know, when you're so tired, your face is like white hot and you're like, I need to go to bed. I was like, I need to be done with Beverly Hills before I can rest. So I watched that night. So it wasn't spoiled for me on Twitter, if that's the question behind the question. I experienced it with everyone else. ish.
So you had just attended this very glam V Hollywood, V fancy schmancy event. You're probably riding a little bit high off of the fumes of what I'm sure was a fantastic screening or party or soiree, whatever the fuck they call it. You go home. You're like, let's get this done. Let's do this. Let's just get through it. Let's see what actually happens.
Yes.
How did it track with your expectations or survival skills or whatever else?
I will say that because Bravo essentially blew much of what Kathy was bringing to the table, it was sort of like, it would have been nice to be a little bit more surprised about the Lisa stuff, but what was a surprise was the Erica stuff, the Kathy versus Erica. I was like, oh, I didn't think this wasn't on the menu. And it was really, it was somebody said afterwards, I do like checking out the hashtag, but somebody said something about like white on white crime and I'm here for it or something. Like it was just like watching two wealthy, and you can put quotes on whoever you want to.
I mean, one person, obviously.
White women with dubiously blonde hair who just are passive aggressively and sometimes aggressively just going back and forth. It was actually that part fed my soul a little bit. So I was definitely interested in that. It was a psychology sort of, it was a masterclass on how to not answer questions. It was a masterclass on how to turn things in the direction you want it to go, either away from something bad that you did or towards yourself and making yourself a victim or away from criticism. Like there was so much positioning happening for as much as the season was kind of garbage and as much as the second episode of the reunion was garbage, I thought the first was sort of rewatchable, and I think the third is very rewatchable. Like it's almost like the only rewatchable episode of the entire season was the finale of the reunion.
Wow. Just
wait, and the last time I was here I said the finale of Beverly Hills was the best finale since season one, so now I'm completely ignoring. So two episodes are rewatchable. Okay, go ahead.
So circling back to what you said about the Psych 101 of it all, who did you think was the best, and I don't even mean this in a negative way, to be honest, like manipulator of their own narrative? Who did you think did the best job of communicating their perspective?
Okay, well, so that depends on if you're asking me who did the best to, because there are people who believed their own story and made sure they got that point across. And then there were people who, I don't know how much they believe their story, but they masterfully kind of did their job. So I would say, I don't know, the people who you would think, oh, they did, they would really have gotten in there and toe-to-toe and whatever. I don't know that Rinna did such a great job, to be honest. And I think Kathy came in hot and said stuff. But I actually think the people who kind of did the best in terms of getting things their way, one was Erica. I thought she was pretty good at having a quick response and a quick reply, whether or not you bought it. And I think that Kyle was very effective in shirking the bad thing she's done while also positioning herself as the ultimate victim when... in some of these cases, she wasn't even in the room. So I think the two of them were the most kind of effective in terms of changing and sticking to stories, which is weird because it was really Lisa versus Kathy for a lot of it.
I mean, that's a really interesting perspective. I agree with you on Erica. With Kyle, I do think that she is a believer.
Yes.
But I don't know that she is able to listen, which to me revealed a lot of the holes in her perspective. Mm-hmm. And I know that there have been a lot of people who've been coming at and for her on social because of the crying and the upset. And I understand layers of that. I think a person can maybe be giving a lot, but it doesn't necessarily mean all of it is manipulative. Like, I do think for Kyle, a part of her defensiveness is like shutting down and crying. I don't know how much of that was performative. It doesn't feel performative.
I agree. She's the one who I thought of when I said, I think she fully believes that this all fell on her, that she's the ultimate person who suffers, and you know, she's the one that got the hug from Andy at the end and couldn't do the toast. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't think any of that was performative.
The part of Kyle that breaks down and is so hurt and feels so defeated and so feels like she's always positioned to be in the wrong and that she's the one that has to answer is the part of her that I wish could listen to Kathy's perspective or her good friend Dorit's. Because I think Dorit did a really solid job of communicating what maybe needed to happen in order to move forward. But I don't know that Kyle has the ability to do so. Like, I genuinely don't know, as someone, again, Kyle, my top five, and I, you know, German Shepherds, you guys know how I feel about them. So, like, it's going to stay. I get it. But, like, it felt like I don't know how to wake Kyle up to what I think other people are seeing, which is Kyle equating Kathy with Rinna. Like, that to me is the biggest problem, and her crying because she is upset about what's taking place is not the active choice that probably either of these women want.
Well, Kyle wants to hear what she wants to hear and won't hear what she doesn't. Like, I think when Garcelle was like, the way that you jumped to Diana's defense or the way that you laughed about what was said about my son, Kyle was very present and very, she wasn't like weepy going, I can't believe you would think I would say that. She can get very sort of like steel focused and confident in those moments. When she has something to say to Crystal, she was very confident in biting and whatever. But when she gets into a mode where what I fully believe is I'm the victim here, Dorit could have said anything and Kyle would be like, totally. Kyle is like, that's not what I'm having happen right now. And let's be honest, I know Kyle's in your top five. And if I'm being honest, I will say, she's been around for so long and when she's good, she's good. So I can't say, oh, she's a piece of shit like I can about other people on the cast. But she had such a hand in what happened to her this season. If you have a sibling that you are, I would never go on a reality show with a sibling of mine and not, no one could say shit. I don't care how much shit I can talk about my sister or my brother or whatever. If somebody else were to say something on camera, it just would be shut down in an instant. In the exact same way that Lisa and Erica do that for each other. And in the exact way that they want to divide and conquer Garcelle and Sutton, that they can't possibly come to each other's defense because let her do it on her own, even though they don't. Kyle never, like when Kathy came on this season, she was clowned. Kyle was clowning her around let me put you in this fucking child's bunk bed. Your flip-flops or your airport slippers are ridiculous. You're ridiculous. And like she, was saying stuff that if you had like that kind of relationship with your sister, then you're going to say stuff like that and feel safe about it. But she knows she doesn't like have the ability to fully like josh with her like that. So really she was just, it really felt like she was being like a bitch. And so then when other people around her are saying negative things about Kathy, they just would never, Kyle never shut it down. And she let you know, the vampire in the house, and now she's crying because, you know, she's bleeding and there's bats everywhere. It's like, keep the fucking door shut. That's my opinion.
Well, I mean, if we're going to talk about the examples of the truest examples of sisterhood in quotes, and I don't necessarily mean this in a good way, but I do mean it in a consistent way. To me, there's no truer example of that than Rinna and Erica, as you said. I mean, Sutton herself has said since the reunion aired that she wished she had stuck up for Garcelle more. I agree. I wish she had done that as well. But when it came to Rinna and Erica, Rinna often actively took control of environments when she knew Erica was going to be reflected on poorly. It wasn't a matter of teaching Erica that what she said was wrong, which I think we all ideally would have wished had taken place from Rinna, but it's not possible because Rinna looks at Erica as an extension of herself. Their alliance is that strong and their interest in protecting each other is that strong. It's too complicated with Kyle and Kathy. And yet, when it comes to someone calling your sister the devil, I watched that moment so many times. She the Kathy segments. Rinna at one point literally says she was the devil, was from hell. I don't know if she said black heart again, but there was something else that was used. And it's like there's a pause. And I acknowledge some of this could be editing, but I don't think so. There is a pause. And then Kyle says, like, guys, stop. She never says, Rinna, stop. She never, you know, like her behavior on social media, she tends to ignore things. But that's not the active choice that other members of the cast are making when they are defending someone that they consider intrinsically close. And that's the breakdown. Kathy is still mad at Kyle when this finishes. Kyle is upset about that. But Kyle has had years and years and years of examples of acting through, working through, trying to get to the other side of toxic sisterhood with her literal family members. I don't know why she hasn't figured out that what her sisters want is her to be actively fighting against people maligning them, regardless of what she wants to teach them in their private time.
Well, in the two, so you're using big examples of how Lisa was containing Erica's situation during the season. But even if you watch the reunion, the things that are most sort of effective and lasting aren't the big ones, it's the small ones. If someone says something to Lisa, and like Erica's right there going, like giving the right response so that it's not just Lisa having to respond to it. It's there's sort of something going on to her left that is backing up, and vice versa. If Kathy's saying something to Erica, there's Lisa with the appropriate response that basically says, Kathy is a fool for saying this thing about Erica. So it's not even like pulling Erica out of her room when she's drunk. It's just the grunt, the look, the whatever that just says this person has someone right next to them. And on a larger scale, when that whole thing came out before the season began about Aspen, and what did Kathy say? And did she say this? And did she say that? Kyle was not, she wasn't saying anything. She wasn't going, let me make this extremely clear. I don't know. You can say, oh, we have to wait for this to happen during the season. If my sibling, if someone is saying that they called someone, I mean, I know that your podcast is rated explicit, but I also know that you don't want words said that are terrible, terrible, terrible. But as a gay person, but I'm not going to say it. But we all know the word that, like, there's no question about the word that Erica says that Kathy said. If someone said that about my sibling, like they're out there using the, you know, F word or whatever, you know, to describe a gay person, I'll be like, let that not be the conversation. I did not hear it. That did not happen. That's not what Kyle did. And so whether it's the small ways or the big ways, Kyle is not as present and solidarity minded as I 100% believe that she believes.
I don't think Kyle wants to sacrifice herself in that way because she truly doesn't believe she should have to. And to me, there's like an element of truth there because so much of this was Kathy airing her grievances about Kyle, according to what both Kathy and Rinna have said. Obviously, a large part of this was related to Kathy feeling like Kyle wasn't a good sister and also maybe a good person. So there is that aspect of it. Like, I hate the idea that we have to disregard that, but the simple fact is Kyle knows better than anyone the mechanics of how this show works and what happens when you stay quiet. And she can talk about her behavior in moments and attempt to absolve herself like she did in apologizing for her behavior with the joking about what happened to Garcelle's son, which I thought got everyone nowhere except they were seemingly able to move on in conversation.
Words were said.
Literally, yeah. Garcelle was making so many solid points. And the thing is, like, you can't respond to it because you know she's right. Like, if you heard that Erica was saying derogatory things and telling a child to fuck off, in what world would that be funny to you, regardless of if you saw it as Dorit did or if you heard about it as Kyle? Because, like, they knew enough to know it was bad for Kyle to say to Mauricio, like, you shouldn't say that, which is what the energy she was giving him when he's like, regardless of what happens, it's really funny to me. Like, they knew enough to know they shouldn't be laughing as they continued laughing, because it's not about the brain, it's about the ankle. You know, like, they yeah. wanted to replicate that. So they, as Erica did, decided to sacrifice Garcelle's son in order to do so, and understood then why that would be problematic, which she's attempting to disavow herself of now. But, like, regardless of the gaslighting of all things Jax, there are other aspects here when it came to, like, Kyle's silence and crying. She has this pattern that came across so clearly this season where she mediates, but she doesn't call out the bad actors. And that is frustrating, because what Kathy is doing, to me, is very different than what Rinna is doing, separate from what Erica did. Like, Rinna is literally saying to Kathy and the cast and million of people, we can't say millions, million, hundreds of thousands of people at home plus 800,000, whatever, you are a bad person. You are evil. You are cruel. This is the worst thing I've ever experienced. Crying is not enough when your sister's character is being maligned in that way. It's just not enough to stay quiet, wait for them to finish talking, pause, and then say, okay, guys, please stop.
Yeah, I think anyone that has siblings knows, like, you just... You're going to hear about that later. There's just no, you just, there's like a biological thing. You're so kind of reared. I mean, I don't think it's just an Italian thing. Like, sometimes I go, oh, I'm from an Italian family.
We're both
and
Italian.
This is, yeah, yeah. So, but it's just kind of like, you just would never. It's, and so when you see it happen, it's very clear to people who know you're not supposed to do that and that you shouldn't, that, like, and it's one thing to go, oh, they're at fault, and so I'm going to call them on something. You know, you're, like you said, you're on a platform with whatever they had, 1.4 million view, whatever it was.
Yeah, live.
They're hanging out there looking like a fool. But worse than that, they're being accused of saying horrible things where it's just like, racist things, homophobic things. That's your sibling. What do you think is going to happen when you don't say, everyone needs to back the fuck up? If someone says, don't you realize you're hurting my relationship with my sister by talking about these things? And that person says, well, if I don't continue talking about it, I'm going to get cancer. I'd be like, well, I'll come visit you in the hospital. Like, you'd have, this is where you stop. This is where it stops. And the fact that Kyle, who you cannot tell me doesn't have more power than Lisa on this show, I don't care how much Lisa runs the table on this show, Kyle is just a notch mm-hmm. higher. She could have shut that down. That's my feeling. And so whatever happens after that is just sort of like, okay, keep crying.
Rinna said that Kathy was abusive to her. She said that if she was not allowed to talk shit about Kathy, she would develop cancer. She said this is the worst thing that had ever happened to her, and that Kathy had a psychotic break. And I don't remember at any of those points Kyle ever explicitly saying that's inappropriate to say. And I know that Kyle knows words. She might not know what violation means, but she knows what derogatory, pejorative statements due to a person.
She said Kathy assaulted her. She went from, I had to hide. Okay, moment. Take a moment. Do you remember when on Atlanta, the whole Bolo situation, and everyone's like, who was the one with Bolo? And, you know, and so they did a whole map of the place and who is in what bedroom, and like they were breaking it down like, you know, Sherlock Holmes. They need to do that for this, because how are you, so we know that they were in Erica's room, lights were on, Mauricio was in the house. Where the fuck was he that while Kathy had blood on her fingertips and scratching at Lisa and assaulting her, I mean, I know that she's saying she wasn't doing it physically, but like where Mauricio just like slept through it, but yet it was so awful. Like I want a little hand scribbled piece of paper that says where was Mauricio's bedroom compared to Erica's bedroom. And if this thing was so wild and out of control that Lisa felt like she had to lock herself in her room, that Mauricio just missed the whole thing.
Well, I think Kyle said as much. I want to say on Watch What Happens, she talked about the fact, I think Mauricio was on the top floor and is a very, very heavy sleeper. So she, but it also goes to, if someone is having a psychotic break, you wake up the relative in the house. If someone is behaving in a way where you genuinely feel that you are in danger, you're locking the door, you're calling the homeowner who is in the same town that you are, and you're screaming for Mauricio to help you. And I don't even want to really reference this or get into details, but I was on vacation several years ago with a couple people, and one of them had a mental health break. And I had no idea that they were dealing with mental health complications. I found out after, the reason they were so passionate about me visiting was because one of the people was dealing with some really complicated things. And instead of seeking treatment, they thought, get Chuckles McGee to fly across the country to have a good time, which I don't begrudge them for. It's a very complicated dynamic. But there was an actual situation that took place on New Year's Eve in Los Angeles a couple of years ago. I changed the plan for the trip New Year's Day as a situation and a crisis continued. And I said, I was very clear after consulting with my mother, who works as a social worker at a mental health hospital in Rhode Island, I was to like explain what was going on and say like X, Y, Z. And I laid out the situation. I talked separately, which was a very difficult thing to try to arrange with the person's significant other, and said, listen, this is not safe. I don't feel safe being here. XYZ happened and I left. I didn't, and it was a private situation, which will stay that way. And I wish them the best, but we have not spoken since. With this stuff, it's like I look at what is going on with Rinna. When this stuff started happening with me, the first thing that I did was to attempt to get the other person to understand what's going on, and then removed myself from the situation. She didn't experience this. We know
that's what I'm saying. You're giving this really wonderful, harrowing example of your life. Going here's how I question her.
Survivor.
We all know she's lying, and that's actually a bigger concern on this show. Is that there's several members of the cast who are just no longer believable. And they're like, here's the thing. What do I think happened? I think that Kathy lost her shit. I do think she said some bullshit. And I think she thought she had an ally, maybe, or wasn't thinking about it with Lisa. Didn't think she'd run and go. And then Lisa went and just fucking built it up into some monster thing. And now she's hanging on to this for dear life, needing it to be this big, or else she looks like a fool. And so I think watching that reunion, they were both lying. I don't have Kathy up on a pedestal. The way that they were, the way that the questions are being posed and the way that they're being answered are, I don't remember saying that. Do you remember saying this? I don't remember exactly that way. Like, it was all very carefully phrased. So it was like questions weren't being answered. Did Kathy send a text that she then deleted from her phone and tried to like have a gotcha moment where it's not on my phone? Well, you deleted it. Well, that's easy enough to find. They didn't conclude that one in the reunion. There's like other questions that came up as far as, do you remember saying this? Are you going to take a lie detector? Do you remember saying this? Well, clearly they're both not giving the 100%. They're both saying, that's ridiculous. Anyone who knows me. And by the way, drink every time anyone says anyone who knows me. And that Kyle said it, Erica said it, Kathy said it. That's everyone's defense. But it's like there's the honesty of what's going on this show is so and so we are all doing what you just did, going, how does this make sense? Because in the real world, when this happens, it doesn't make sense. Why would you call Erica instead of all the other people that she could have called if there was drugs? I guess Erica has a policeman for a child, and so maybe she thought that he could make another drive up in the snow of Aspen and hopefully, you know, something different happens this time. But it's like It's the whole thing is so preposterous. You've got a heavy sleeper upstairs with a whole bunch of daughters. I mean, I guess people can sleep heavy. I probably would become accustomed to life to keeping one ear open. But the whole, we know there's a lot of lying going on. And so you're watching it feeling like you're sort of being like peppered with gnats. Like it just feels annoying.
Well, the other part of this that I think is really important is like, obviously, Rinna doesn't believe that Kathy, or maybe she does. Maybe Rinna's the kind of person that uses mental health phrases in order to shame someone. But the reality is that, like, I think we've all had experiences or are the person who has been struggling with anything dealing with mental health or anyone dealing separate from mental health with fucking up. Like, we have all in our personal lives, I do believe the vast majority of people listening have at some point in their life acted like an asshole, acted like a terror, been shitty to someone. And maybe they deserve some of it, maybe they didn't. There is a difference, obviously, between shouting at someone, having a tantrum, threatening whomever, and having a mental health situation, experience, episode, which is the divide here that Rinna is trying to cross and equalize and normalize in a way that's horrible. That being said, Kathy acknowledged that she behaved in a way that was inappropriate and wrong and said, I'm sorry. She explicitly said
multiple times
to Kyle and to Rinna. What is happening now? Because understandably, it's a reunion and you're going to, you know, get back into it. But what Rinna has been doing on social media and at the reunion and on various outlets or whatever avenues, whatever you want to, just however you want to encapsulate it, is to shame her for acting out, which is the thing that annoys me more than anything else. Because if you want to shame someone for acting in a way that you think is inappropriate or wrong, you need to be on television the absolute purest person on the face of the planet, or someone who's maybe acted out and taken responsibility, LOL, but not actively trying to absolve the other cast member who gets the most, after you, like the most negative attention, bad press, for acting out. Like, she wants to carry all of these roles, which is why when I watch her as the judge and jury of Kathy's morality, I'm like, this is so exhausting to watch because it's Lisa Rinna doing it.
It's not genuine at all. And that's why it's frustrating. Like, when you see the ratings being what they are, and I said this to you earlier, even though Lisa has done wild things on social media, just the last week alone, it has been
horrible.
Using the sexual assault of a minor to make a point. Posting.
That's okay.
Warning for anyone who has concerns about guns, because here she is posting and dirty deleting. Looking.
Allegedly.
She did it. Who else? I mean, but come on. So posting a picture of her with a gun saying, looking for some rando that she has a problem with. It's like all of this stuff is so crazy. But then I see the ratings and I'm like, certainly when I saw the thing with the gun, I was just like, of all of these things, she's going to come back. I saw that and I was like, ooh, that she'll never, like, for her to post a picture of her, like, with the gun saying, looking for this person, blah, blah, blah. I was like, there's no way she's going to come back. And then I see the ratings and just like, ugh. Like, I don't think they're going to get rid of anyone on this cast except the person they already, you know, cleared
chat. Already got rid of herself.
Cleared chat on her little dial-in. It's so when you're saying it's so frustrating, that's why I'm looking into the next season of the show going, I really want to sit someone at Bravo aside going, look, I work in TV. I get it. You want to get an audience that's engaged. You want to get an audience that is, first of all, you want to get an audience. It's, everything is so splintered these days. The fact that Bravo has access to that many people and It is legit what people are talking about. I'll be at a random coffee shop. I could be certainly in LA, but I've been in where people are like, oh, Erica, oh, Crystal. Oh, like people are actually talking about, this is actual water cooler. So I understand why they wouldn't want to change things up. But I think there's so much negative and so much disingenuousness going on this show. It's phony. I don't believe half of what I'm seeing. So I want to just take someone aside and go, look, I know that this is, I know you're just salivating going, ooh, these ratings are wonderful. And that Lisa, she just gets people talking. It's, the show is an effort. This past season was an effort. And what's coming out of it is really very dark. And I just, you know, for all the Bravo execs listening right now, you know, have mercy.
Paris is always a good idea, and when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from Housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French Bravoholic, for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo. And when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth. And when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this. Violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com
Promo code Andy. C'est bon, c'est bon.
Well, I mean, there is an oddity here in the way that Rinna is trying to say that Kathy's behavior is problematic and needs to be evaluated or investigated or shamed, noting what the lines that Rinna has crossed on social media. And it becomes a matter of like, well, which behavior is worse? And if there is a Bravo HR department, and kudos to them for the freelance position, apparently, a Bravo HR department that launched an investigation. And I honestly, for reasons relating to privacy, I do understand why other members of the cast were not informed, but I don't know that other members of the cast were aware that an HR department at Bravo exists, which is an LOL. But if there was an HR department investigating what took place in Aspen, which I firmly understand, where are people from HR to investigate what Rinna has been doing in real time? It seems like her trolling and really unacceptable, shocking behavior. I know, but it's like the way that Bravo seems to respond and hold certain housewives accountable specific to their behavior on social media and not others. We don't need to talk. We've talked about this ad nauseum, like the way that Candace was held accountable as she should have been. Kenya's was, I think there was
the headdress
on social media, but that was on the show. That was
right. Yeah.
So that's like different
good point.
From social
got it,
media.
Got it. Yeah.
This is like a totally separate thing that is adding to a feeling of exhaustion and negativity and toxicity. So like in present time, we're hearing the cast talk about the harm of toxic behavior. In real time, Rinna is going deeper and lower and darker. And sort of essentially, I don't even know how to phrase it. It does feel to me genuinely like hashtag systematic bullying against someone who is essentially a member of the cast, regardless of it being a housewife or friend of. And I'm just like watching this, like, are we all watching the same show? She says during the episode, we all know it's bullshit, but we are supposed to believe words when they are said. That's according to Lisa Rinna. I'm going to let this go. And we know that she triples down. So it's like, what are we supposed to do with that as an audience? Where the show is building toward the idea of settling this and getting not, and it can be messy, but getting to the other side of this. And Rinna is continuing it in real time. What is a person supposed to do with that?
Put her on pause. It's wild, but it's also, I guess, it's a further continuation and a dissecting of the behavior of somebody who is clearly not genuine. So it's like we're all getting frustrated by what she's saying and the hypocrisy, etc. It's we know that not everything is as it says, and especially anyone says, I'm so truthful and I own and you have to own whatever. That's odd. I mean, that's like the first red flag. Anyone who comes and says, I'm just really honest, that's my problem. Then you know they're like lying about you right now. But the fact that she's so unreliable is what makes it bad television for me. I'm not entertained by her antics. And, you know, spoiler, I never was. But it's not about being entertained. It's about I'm bored by the fact that I'm like, well, if I can't believe anything that's going on, if all the hypocrisy is because she's creating all of these stories that contradict each other, so what can I believe? I start to lose any feeling of stakes on the show. I go, their relationship isn't what it appears. This is all being said for nonsense reasons. And so the show loses value. So you're having people watch, but what they're watching is like rot. And I think people are cluing in. I think people are going, ask why someone is booed in front of a bunch of people. And it's because you're not eliciting a good, usually you'll have someone who's team this or team that. There's very few team her right now.
You know, it's like, you don't need to be team her to understand that some of this adds to her value. Like some of this conflict adds to her value. But the problem to me with that argument is like, who's she going to have conflict with if Kathy's not back? She should be having conflict with Kyle, but if Kyle isn't standing up for Kathy with Kathy next to her, mm-hmm. it does not matter to me if she stands up for Kathy in absentia. And Kyle said on the show, specifically referencing her nieces, that it feels, and I'm sure, and I was taking that as Kathy's kids, but I'm sure with Kim's as well, that she is held to an unfair standard by the children of her sisters. And I watch her say that, and it's like, I'm not going to take away from that reality for you. I am sure that that is true in people's devotion and defense of their parents, that they're not going to look at the nuances. But then why aren't you? Because you are on a reality TV show. You know how this works. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe that you should be supporting your sister because you feel like that's a form of punishing her for hurting your feelings, or it's complicated, you know that reality TV narration is often simple, like in answering questions and not. And if you know that your nieces and nephews are going to hold you to a different standard, why aren't you pretending to play that part just a little bit more? And if in real time, Rinna, and again, trigger warning, this very difficult subject's being discussed, but if in real time, Rinna goes on social media and posts and tries to manipulate your nieces' public coming forward and talking about her experience dealing with being the survivor of physical, emotional, and sexual abuse at that horrible place in Utah that she was sent to, and using that to shame your sister, her mother, you should be vocally saying something, because you know how this is going to go no matter what. So if the ship is going down with your relationships with your nieces and nephews, and if you care, and if you also care because of Farrah's wedding, which, like, I don't get that, but I don't have adult children, and I know that the Richard sisters are very, very concerned with optics and maybe a happy ending. You should care about vocally saying what was said about Paris and Kathy is unacceptable, period, dot.
Well, and to your point where Kyle on social doesn't, she stays silent. She has stayed silent. However, you might be getting 5% of your wish because she went through and deleted all of the photos that she has.
Not every photo.
The one.
She kept the photo. She kept the most important photo, which was the photo taken in real time of her posing with Rinna in Aspen and using the phrase, what was the fucking phrase?
We're going to talk about it, you bet, or whatever.
So if we're going to talk about it, Kyle, we're going to talk about the fact that you did the most superficial thing you could do.
Certainly.
Which was probably archiving those posts. Yeah. Probably wasn't deleting them.
Right.
But keeping up the one that does more to shame your sister than anything else. And is that fair? Is it fair that Kyle feels, or that Kyle may have to put in extra work? Maybe it's not. But when you made the decision to have your sister on this show, which was to me much more mutual than it was in New Jersey, you took responsibility for some of that. And if you don't want to shoulder the burden because it's unfair, I mean, I guess that's what the crying is for. It's unfair, but it doesn't mean it's not still necessary.
Listen, I just go, she's on your top five still, yeah?
Not to shift gears. It's honestly like some of that is filler because I have spots available, but I just don't feel certain ways about certain people. So like she's going to stay there as long as she posts about Storm, and it is what it is. But there is that moment at the end of the reunion when she's with Dorit and Dorit is trying to explain to her, here is what I was trying to say. Here's how you move forward. And you're not going to tie this up in a bow. And Kyle is saying, essentially, you don't understand how this is going to go. This is going to ruin my relationships. And I'm watching her multiple times because I watched the episode so many times. And I'm thinking, Kyle, you've done this so many times before. You're the OG. You have had very complicated, toxic dynamics play out with Kim and Kathy. You know how this is going to work out. You are responsible for some of that. You could have said something. crying during these long segments and waiting until the end, not being specific about what Rinna is saying and leaving your sister there, which is what she did. You can't just equalize what both of these women are doing. It's not the same. What Kathy did, and even like saying shit about Erica, is not the same as what Rinna did actively, repeatedly, and on social media, which is what Garcelle did. Garcelle was more, I hate to say it, God help me, Garcelle was more of a sister to Kathy in that moment than Kyle was. And that is the privilege of not having been fucked with your entire life, not having dealt with the toxicity. But as an outsider, Garcelle and Dorit were trying to do the work. If Kyle won't participate in that because it's unfair, why did you say okay and encourage this with Kathy? It does not feel like they had a single conversation about what this actually means, which is very consistent for the Richard sisters dynamic.
Well, I mean, when the morally corrupt Faye Resnick can jump in and defend Kathy in an instant, and, you know, it's, yeah, we keep couching it in the fact that they had this long, complicated backstory, and, you know, but it's just like there are some things that are just very simple. And so, anyway, the martyrs, but it was interesting that Kathy was actually saying a lot of different things that the audience has been saying for so long, and she just, whether it was the martyr bit for her or bringing up all of Erica's baubles or ripping into Rinna about all the random women she's driven off the show. It's like, these are everyone going, why isn't anyone saying it? And then like one fell swoop, she's coming along and she's just like, boom, boom, boom. There was a lot of like feeding of the audience there, but not to sidetrack you, but.
I was appreciative for Kathy. Whoever fucking prepped her deserves a goddamn like trophy. And I think Paris was probably involved in some of that. I think Paris gets it. She understands social media and reality TV, and so does Kathy's high-priced team. They did a much better job of prepping her than Erica was prepped. Miss, like, we're on appeal.
We're on a plane. That example when she was just like, when a plane is going down, the collective oxygen that left... I was like, no, this isn't your example. And then the oxygen mask drop, I took care. I was like, oh no, not a plane crash analogy. I can't. Anyway.
But the thing that Kathy said that I wish she had adjusted was saying, and people heard about my meltdown, but no one heard about Erica. And I wish that had been tweaked to not Erica wearing expensive things, but Erica having a meltdown. Erica saying, I don't care about anybody but me is so terrible and was caught on camera. And yet what everyone heard coming out of Aspen, what we heard on the blogs was only Kathy, to my memory, which could be wrong, and also included Kathy saying homophobic things and racial slurs. It was a two-part slur.
Right. Can I ask you two questions? One... Yeah. If the conversation were only, if it was a direct one-on-one with Erica, she said this thing to Erica that was a gay slur. Nobody else heard it. And if that was leaked before the show, isn't that literally just saying, I leaked this? If I'm the only one that knows something and it's out in the universe, wouldn't I be the one that had to put it out in the universe?
Yeah, if a tree falls in the woods,
that's physics,
the tree
right?
is saying the F word, who's going to be around to hear it? Like... Erica J, it's the thing that like, it's also where I'm like, Andrew, buddy, what's happening, sweetie? Like, you're asking provocative questions and then you're just like blinking. Like,
yeah.
Where's the follow-up, guy? Like, we know that you can do that because you're actually, the fact that I say actually is like such an LOL, but like, Andy is a very strong moderator at these reunions. It is important that Andy is the one doing it because he is the face of Bravo and he has a lot of power. If you just put a celebrity in that spot, it's not the same vibe. It is his connection and history to Bravo, even if he's no longer an executive, mm-hmm. that leaves a mark. It adds a layer of complication here that I find really interesting and valuable. But I'm like, are you not? We can't only depend on the viewers answering the sentence. You should be I mean, that thing with Erica, it's like, I don't know how long that went on for, but what if you're saying it's up to the court, and then you're saying, if you said that before and now you're like, it's no longer up to the court, there's a divide there we should explore. Like, I there were aspects, and with Rinna too, I was like, what's happening?
In that same exchange, he's like, we're saying the same thing, but we're not, but we are. And I'm just like, we're not, but we are. Like, that could just be something you could dive into. Like, well, what part is the same and what part isn't? Like, it was just such a weird face-off between the two that went nowhere.
And it was also like a 15-hour reunion. So I'm sure at this point they were all exhausted, and who knows how long this stuff went on for, but we should be seeing some of the cross. Like, we should.
Why was it a 15-hour reunion? Because if you're watching and you're saying how much, it didn't feel like how much was cut out? Because there was, like, that second episode was, it was a nothing. I don't understand why it was such a long taping, because I didn't feel like we were given a lot.
Well, I think the editing was wild in the second episode, just throw it in the river and don't look back, like the second part. But Rinna showed up with her fun little manila envelopes that said Aspen receipts, like we would think it was something else. They weren't used, except that they kind of were, because in the final edit, the editors couldn't get entirely around it. So there is a moment in part three where Dorit and Erica are looking at papers, and you can see the corner of the papers, but obviously not what's on it. And it's like, for Rinna, someone who is a fan of talking and communicating to her friends in the Bravosphere. Are they content creators? Are they YouTubers? Who's to say? She's just making pals. She has communicated so many times before what it is that she wants to communicate happened with things. And I do not believe that she is concerned with any kind of legal strategy by not revealing what's in those envelopes. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been brought to the table. I think that there was some sort of advance conversation about what was going to exist here. But regardless, it does say something to me that of all of the people she speaks to or spoke with until she blocked them, she's not providing any information. She's only providing the conspiracy around why the information shouldn't go out, which tells you a lot about what was maybe not inside.
Yep. If it was explosive, if it was anything other than tedious, there would have been something there. Right. Instead, it's just, here I am nothing. Walking in with something, and now, like, it wasn't even like a bunny. It was just, there was nothing to it.
I think it was probably a timeline, which to me is like, listen, I am a heterosexual, you know, woman. My perspective on this, to me, matters less. Like, how do you feel about the fact that a huge part of this, according to, you know, the shock of hearing it, even though we had heard whispers for so long, was the idea that Kathy used a gay slur? Like, how does that frame to you the experience of watching and reacting to what took place and to the people involved?
Well, I mean, I've grown up listening to that slur all the time. So that's never a pearl clutch to me. And I would err on the side of giving someone the benefit of the doubt. Do my antenna go, yeah, I think someone like Kathy could say it. Yes. In a situation like that where she was clearly upset, do I think she could say it? Yes. Do I give her a pass for it? I probably would not, but I would have to know if she did or not. If it's just sort of like a guess or like a maybe, then I just go, it's not on my screen, so it's frustrating to, like, why are we talking about it? So I ultimately, but she was never my, like, I know when she came along, everyone was just like hunky-dorying all over the place. And I remember specifically saying to, like, I'm not, nobody can be, I was like, I need to see more out of her. She hasn't been challenged. And now that she has, I mean, for her to be like, I tried to slip them some money to play a song, and I said, well, this works here, there, and everywhere. I mean, that is definitely an elitist white lady with money point of view. And yeah, I mean, so I don't know that she did. So I go, you know what? I'm not going to take it in too deeply. Do I believe she could have? Sure. Do I believe that she said some fucked up shit? Yes. Do I think that Lisa has completely blown it out of proportion and has probably added to sort of the heap of stuff that she could have said? It seems so weird to me that somebody would say, I'm going to bring down this entire network, name all the different pieces and say, I'm going to destroy Kyle and her family if it's the last thing I do. I'm like, unless you've got like a hairless cat and you're sitting in like a giant villain chair, it's just like people don't talk that way. So I'm like, that whole part of the story was so bananas that I almost wanted Kathy to be like, who talks that way? Like, no, who are, like, it's just, there was a level of like dodging and weaving that I was like, okay, some shit was said here for sure. Or else someone would just be like, you're out of your mind, insane. You're absolutely lying. And like, so anyway, I think I answered your question and just kept going, but I wouldn't say that I had, I was never fangirling Kathy. So it doesn't necessarily affect my 100% adoration of her. I feel like I have her number a little bit. So, you know, the idea, I mean, like Crystal, I do find playing Michael Jackson to be problematic. And I also find using him as an example of, you know, not seeing color, whatever those things are. I'm just like, I get her. I feel like I understand Kathy. So yeah, I wouldn't say it changes my opinion. The possibility. I'm not saying she did it.
Not to take away from any of this, but like if Erica was as shocked as she was and she knows that Kathy is very upset and Rinna's going to escort her home, wouldn't Erica have communicated to Rinna at that point or in the text message when she finds out Kathy's losing her shit and Rinna's locked in her room or whatever? Wouldn't she use that time to communicate to Rinna what Kathy had said at the club? Like, why is there not a trail of that if you
right.
know,
good
Erica's
point.
Trying to communicate how horrifying it was, not taking away from the how horrifying it genuinely
she's,
was, but like
Lisa's texting her saying, oh my God, this woman's out of her mind, she's raging,
blah
blah
like,
blah.
Oh my God,
I saw how it starts. That's when she bolted out of the place. She said this horrible thing. Yeah, that would be somewhere. By the way, the optics of why it's so bad is almost like if we can nail her, or if she is nailed, she said it. And if she, whether she said it or not, if she had to take responsibility for saying this, this would ruin her. Now, would it? Like, I don't know. Like, if she was like, let me tell you something, I 100% use that word. I walked out of there. I was pissed that shit came out of my mouth. I mean, this is not how Kathy speaks. But if she were to say, you know what? I said that. I went right back to that club and I went and apologized to that guy. And I said, I was not raised this way. That did come up. Whatever she would have to say, that wouldn't be game over for Kathy. People wouldn't be like, oh. And again, I'm not saying she said it, but I'm just kind of like, there are things that she could say and do that I feel like would be much more sort of nuclear than that. And it's honestly stuff that I see Rinna do on social. Like that to me, I'm like, oh my God. And that's just fully out there. And she's not canceled at this point, not even paused. So, you know, I'm not saying everyone has the same feeling I do. There would be other gay people who, when they hear the F word, they'd be like, screw her, she's dead to me, whatever. I go, I guess I just have a different perspective. I'm not saying, you know, go off sis and say that word as much as you want, whatever. But if everything that they're saying, if Kathy had said, you know what, Andy, let me tell you something. As a Hilton, I am in a higher stratosphere. And so saying something ridiculous, like I'm going to take down the world. Did I say that? Yes, because I can be a cartoon character because this is the world I live in. Would I ever? No. Did it come out of my mouth? Yes. It would be dead and buried. Nobody would give a fuck.
Kathy Hilton, you know what, Andy, as a member of a marginalized community, the 1%, I just want to let you know It would be something would take place. I mean, this does get into the idea of like if a tree falls in the woods and the morality police shows up and who's driving the fucking Sprinter van but Rinna and Erica Jane, it's tough. You're already at a different point here, which takes away some of what they're trying to communicate because they're the ones communicating it.
Exactly. Can you believe that was, what did she said? It was the worst things I'd ever heard in my life. I was like, you went out for Halloween and your husband wore a swastika. I don't know how much, like, this is your limit. Like, what? It's kind of clownery and nonsense. And
you said Kim was going to die. You said she's going to die tomorrow at 3:00. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to send you a Google Cal. She literally said that and then forgot.
But on she camera. Remembers, she said it she on remembers camera.
This, like, yes. And she remembers this beautiful flowing language of I'm going to take down Peacock and then Bravo. And you're all going to fester because of my cut. And again, it's like, I think most people on planet Earth do believe, because Kathy herself acknowledged it, that Kathy lost her mind. I do not mean that in terms of Rinna's ill-used phrasing of mental health conditions, disorders, episodes in which to shame this person. I think that Kathy was very angry, and I think Kathy has often been very angry, maybe directly at Kyle. So it's like, we're not, some of this we actually didn't really get into, which is the idea that, like, Kyle wouldn't go home with Kathy because she was tired of being treated in that way.
Right. Which is actually a more interesting story.
Yes.
Oh, we watched this show for psychological and the dynamics between whoever. Oh, tell me that story and let's talk about that story so that when they actually do finally either say, I want you out of my life forever, or give me a hug, we've completely reconciled. Like, that's the satisfying thing. It's not satisfying talking about some fucking off-camera bullshit and having a human resources conversation that was a she said, she said. So much of what's happened on this show has been off camera that it's just like tedious. Who knew there was a fucking, that Lisa's lawyers went to Garcelle and they had to make a second printing of this. Like, there's so much going on off camera that we either don't know about or, like, if I'm not seeing it, I don't care. So, but that's actually true of, and I'm not getting off the subject of Beverly Hills, but I will say that every single one of the shows they have on right now, the Three Housewives, all have that in common. There is some sort of a lie that is being
narrative.
Well, or lie. How about there's either Salt Lake City, where Whitney is saying, this conversation happened that at first Heather was like, I don't remember it. And even, what's her name, Angie? Even she's like, Angie, this never happened. So it's like this whole debate of did it happen or did it not happen? And it was off camera. Or on Potomac, Mia's literal tagline has to do with the fact that she can't keep her story straight. She's literally saying, this married man was looking me up and down. Even production is like, here's the, you know, Chris cam where it shows that he has absolutely no concept that you're even in the room. And then on social media afterwards, she's like, oh yeah, I guess I lied. Anyway. And then Chris is like, are you kidding me? Like, she has absolutely no vested interest in telling the truth and is totally fine you knowing it. So it's just like, there's so much sort of off camera saying of things that is then a storyline that winds up being bullshit, or like, we're all trying to find the truth when we watch this show, theoretically, these shows. And it's just like every single show has some frustrating storyline where off camera garbage and, you know, there was no camera in with Giselle and with Chris in her dressing room. There wasn't. So it's just like, this happened. And it's just like, come on, give me something on camera that's truthful.
I feel like there's the Mia example. I feel like I understand that. With the Chris and Giselle thing, I think that gets more into a conversation about appearances versus motivations than lies. Because I think with Giselle, what she is trying to get to is a feeling of discomfort, full stop, and also questions relating to potential motivations connected to for appearances sake versus Salt Lake, where it's like, you literally said this and you heard it. I didn't say it. I didn't hear it, which is a different situation.
But weirdly, it is a different situation, but weirdly also, and I love how much we're using the word conflated these days on these shows, but it is also weirdly conflated with how someone feels about a different situation that's much more visceral. I get the Giselle and Chris thing. I think the mistake is absolutely with Giselle in the sense that nobody is saying, like, you can feel like you're in a situation that isn't great, that the other person didn't cause. And I think the fact that Giselle went to Candace and said, your man made me feel uncomfortable, as if there was something that he did wrong about it, as opposed to a way that she, this is my opinion, you're disagreeing in your face. So it's like, so for Giselle to go, I'm just letting you know, and she's like, well, did he say something to you? No. Did he do something? No. Okay, then what do we have here? I'm not saying Giselle didn't feel like a certain way. I understand that you can be not even a married woman, a woman in a room with a man alone and have like what people could think or whatever, and not being comfortable with that. And legitimately being uncomfortable with that, not going, oh, I'm afraid of what people think. Like, you could yourself be, for whatever you have going on in your life, in your past, in your present, that's not like your, like, zhuzh. That's not like your good thing. But to go to someone and say that they had some responsibility in that, and like, and not even go to them, going to their fucking wife on camera, I'm just like, that to me, I'm just like, it's very clear that one person's, they're both of their feelings are valid, but that doesn't mean that one caused the other. So I'm team Candace on that one.
The only thing that kind of,
as is Robin,
heavily so. The only thing that kind of confuses that is the idea that Chris said, let's keep the door open, you know, because it did seem that both were aware. We want to make sure that for appearances sake, noting there is nothing untoward happening between us for appearances sake, because there are only two people in the room. We want to keep the door open. And that's not me criticizing either of them for that. But that does, for lack of a better word, term, idea, open the door to understanding that she felt discomfort. The problem here is that she's attaching some of that discomfort to his intention, and they're now getting into a conversation around on social media of who was the person to suggest the dressing room, because Chris and Candace are saying it was Giselle, and she's lying that he suggested it, and she's saying that that's a lie, that he suggested it, which gets into a very tricky area.
For me, I thought that had more to, even though he gave the 99.whatever% of that thing, to me that felt more like his memory being not, as opposed to him going,
yes,
let me put it on her. So the fact that Giselle was like, oh, he's lying, he didn't say, oh, let me tell you, she said it like this, come into my room with me. That's not what he said. So it's like, there's a lot of, I feel like that has miscommunication involved as well. I just feel like it's such a kind of shitty thing for Giselle to do, because particularly knowing Candace, and great, you're a baller, Giselle, you don't care about pissing off someone that I don't think anyone really wants to piss off, but it's like, how you can't possibly think that your relationship is going to rebound from that, unless you literally say, look, let me tell you how I came to this. And even if she, as Candace said, walked it all the way back, I still don't think it would matter.
What I think is really helpful is having Robin and Karen involved at this point, because I think Robin is making clear that Giselle, this did take place.
Yeah,
Giselle
she said
did
it.
Express discomfort to her immediately following the reunion, which I think is helpful for everyone, that it's not just something Giselle pulled out of her ass. It is something that Giselle felt, which people have feelings about, but like it, there is a marker here, which is why I think it's important. And it's also important to hear Robin say, like, and I disagreed with her then, and I disagree with her now. And I think it's important to have Karen as a part of the conversation saying, listen, you have the right, if you felt violated, you have the right to feel violated. And also, when you're saying, you know, so that after the fact, you can combat rumors, it's like you're skipping ahead here in a way that is unnecessary and helps cloud it. Because Giselle is thinking, what happens when people decide that it looked like we were up to no good, which didn't seem to take place?
No, and she's bringing it up however many months later. Whenever you're at one of these shoots, there's nowhere else to go. If you're saying, can I talk to you? Cameras are down. It's over. Can I talk to you? I'm fuming right. about something.
With a door closed.
There is nowhere
else. I mean, LOL. Yeah. Closed, but like
but,
with
but
balls.
There's, but yeah. there's when you have production at a site like that, there are the random people who have to share this room and that room because everyone is there. Space is at a limited. The only place that people feel also when you're on a set, which that still was, even though cameras were down, the place that production stays away from, we all know to stay away from, is the dressing rooms. That's their space. That's so if I'm one of those people, that's the place I'm going to say, can we go? Whether it was Giselle or Chris or whatever, by all accounts, Chris has cooked for these people. He's had them all over. If somebody who I was over their house in real life, we were like friendly, and then they were like, can I speak to you in the only room that we could possibly go? It, to me, it's a no-brainer. I don't feel like I understand why Giselle would feel a certain way or how she could feel a certain way. But again, if it's not the intention of the person on the other side of it, then that's a different conversation and it's with the person on the other side of it. It is not the reality TV moment that Giselle took with Candace. Oh, 100%. Like it was, I thought that was like a bad step on her part. And it's, yeah. And we'll see why it's so bad, because the whole season, it clearly has not resolved itself, because on social media, Candace still has lots to say.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions. Just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code AndysGirls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. with code AndysGirls for 10% off today. And thank the Jills Aaron and your life and mine.
Yeah, Candace is saying it's game over for her relationship with Giselle as a part of this. And it's interesting to note that it appears that Ashley and Candace have been able to work through
right
any kind of tension related to what Ashley said, which according to Giselle inspired her to share right. on camera her experience, because Ashley had one to share. One that, by the way, was, you know, it's like you thought that this person was sliding into your DMs. They were responding to an IG story. It's different. And they were also trying to promote their job by saying, you, TV star, come to my bar so that I can promote my bar. And he's 2 a.m. is probably his 4.
Yeah, I could take Chris or leave Chris, but in both of these situations, and with Mia, brave Mia coming forward with her story of Chris, as Rinna would say, abuse and assault. There are many ways that people can be abused and assaulted. Okay. I think Chris is just was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I don't know that I would have done anything different than he did in all three of those situations. I would have said, Giselle, can we talk? Is this a place cool? I would respond to a story of someone I'm friendly with going, oh, you're out now? You should come here. And I would 100% be looking in the complete opposite direction of Mia at a party.
Okay, so I have a little bit of a counter to that. And it's
nope, noted- goodbye, thank you. Join the Patreon. You can find me at Dame Galley. At Dame
Galley. Amen to that. Listen, which is the conversation and the idea of nefarious intent, and that when a woman says she's uncomfortable, well, of course she's only saying that because there is some other motivation here. And I think that's where we get into muddy waters, because with Giselle, people are relying on the fact that, yes, she has been shady and referenced things on camera and said things, you know, in the way that she said them, even in, you know, like, Mia, what's going on with your cancer and whatever else. And she has a way of being choppy intentionally because of how it will play on camera. But I think with some of this stuff, it's like a little bit more nuanced than that, because I do understand the idea of feeling uncomfortable regardless of the other person's intention. And I sure. think with Ashley and just Mia is like,
she's my punchline for this whole, no, I have nothing I think to add.
She's a lot of people's punchlines and in some ways deservedly so. But when it comes to like the nefarious intention, that makes me just like a scooch uncomfortable, because I do think that when Ashley got that message from him, she felt uncomfortable, and I'm not going to take that away from her. I do believe that when Giselle felt uncomfortable with aspects of this, and when she saw that her glam team had left, she was uncomfortable. I don't think that it the idea of nefarious intention to me as part of a characterization of Giselle's character, I don't want to take away from that, because I understand that there's reason according to how the ways that she's discussed things on camera and like that being a part of the job. But I also think when it comes to this stuff, I actually think the storytelling right now is doing a pretty responsible job, because of the importance of Robin and Karen, who are kind of illuminating this and providing context that I think is really key.
They are doing their jobs. And considering we just spent all that time talking about a show where there are more than 50% of the people on the show are not doing their jobs.
Yeah.
Potomac is people actually having opinions and expressing them that aren't so warped by kind of packs, that you're actually seeing real stuff said and talked about, which is great. And I'm not saying it shouldn't be on the show. It is definitely interesting. But it is also, it's just wild.
And I also, P.S., as just like a little sidebar to that, don't want to take away from Candace rightly being offended and upset and feeling like this is the plot, because she has seen it happen to other people before on other franchises and her own, and her calling, you know, like breaking the fourth wall and calling in production. Like, I think she did the right thing. I have complete understanding for, or I think I do, understanding for why she said things, and give her, you know, an abundance of kudos for handling things the way that she did. Really, I think listening to Giselle when the conversation started and trying to understand, yeah. and also feeling very upset about the fact that she feels that she's in an uncomfortable position, noting her support for the Me Too movement and the ways that she views relationships and environments through the lens of her identity as a woman. Like, I think it is probably especially difficult for her to navigate this as a co-star, as a housewife, as a wife. I don't want to take that away in any way, but I do also think that there's like, I think everybody's, you know, I think a lot of people's perceptions are also based on their own, and opinions are based on their own experiences. I think it's just, I just keep thinking, you know, of what Karen was saying, which I think just carries so much weight here. The idea that, like, listen, I get it. You should have an apology, but also you know this man, you know his behavior with you, you know his intentions. And P.S., as an example, someone did cross a line with me physically and I talked to people about it. There were witnesses. I talked to my priest, my husband, and had a conversation, and who knows who those witnesses were and if it was a part of people from production or whatever else. But Karen,
human resources is very busy.
I mean, for real. But like Karen acknowledging that and providing an example and trying to help Giselle kind of navigate this in a way that I think Karen thinks is responsible to both Giselle and Chris is a very, very emotionally mature way to look at it, which again, it's just like, got to give it up to Karen for really being so central, I think, to communicating this in a way that feels even-handed and nuanced.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting conversation, and it's interesting because Giselle feels fully correct, although I did think it was interesting that Candace said, and I hate we keep going to online, but unfortunately these shows are now wildly interactive or multimedia.
Yeah.
She was like, I was prepared to kind of like basically absorb, look the other way, or handle this in a certain way. But she, in watching the cut, seeing like all the like the face pulling and the little looks and stuff, she was like, fuck that shit. Like she was basically saying, like when Candace got up and like Giselle had like a little like, whether it was a bemused smile or who knows what was behind, like there's like random little flashes of something on Giselle which says that she isn't necessarily...
Her intentions weren't as...
Yeah. Is she taking it, like, she's doing something serious, but is she taking it as seriously as someone who is doing something serious? Like, there's things about it that, is she enjoying little bits of it? Like, does she realize this is going to be good TV while it's happening? Is she going, oh, I didn't think it was going to go that way? Like, there's elements to it which I think are... those are sort of the things that I kind of watch more than what's being said is the unsaid, and and that clearly is something that she saw, because she was like, that I think is what made it war for her, like fully war.
Which, you know, I blocked Candace on Instagram and I'm not on Twitter. So I'm like missing those moments unless I see someone, you know, posted on Instagram stories 3 days after the fact. So I didn't see that. And I think that's really helpful because, like, you know, normalize changing your mind based on new information. It's not that I'm changing my mind, but maybe adjusting the landscape as Candace is sharing with us what she actually felt had taken place is important information to hear. And to follow up on that, just to say, Rinna's fucking cat that got the canary looks during the BH reunion showed you an awful lot about how terrible she thought Kathy Hilton was, as opposed to how much she was relishing in this. And I would like to add to that that Angie Harrington is reveling in the camera time she's getting on Salt Lake, which plays to me into the her husband's talk about office space, her husband's use of a box at the Utah Jazz, which I thought the whole thing was that they were front row. So like, what does this even mean? But like, they're, you know, cat that got the canary, Angie Harrington is flying a little bit high off of this stuff too, which I see there's a little connective thread there.
Now, this is connective thread to what you're saying, but it's coming for someone who's not who you're talking about. But in the last week, I've really started to, I think Heather is a great housewife. Her choice of friends and people she gravitates towards across the board. She's got the Jen of it all, which is obviously like exhibit A. And then she was on Watch What Happens Live talking about how she, like, anytime she was asked about either BH or other housewives, it was really like pro Lisa Rinna. It was pro Erica Jane. What did you find that was good about the reunion? Oh, I thought her openness or whatever. Well, oh, Lisa called me when she didn't have to. And then this whole thing with it, like Angie, it's like her, who she chooses to sort of like, you know, ride with is so suspect to me. It's interesting because she is so fun. She's so beloved. And she really is a kind of confessional queen. Like, she feels like one of the people, but you're like, her desire to just roll hard with the underdogs is just like, she's unable to read the room.
I mean, I did watch that Watch What Happens, and I think that her explanation of the Rinna thing to me was like, I am not going to drag this person because my actual in real time interactions with them was supportive and positive, and I'm not going to forget that. And it's that is similar to her understanding and definition communication about her feelings with Jen. That like, yeah, this person may have done, I mean, very, very, very different circumstances, but this person may have done wrong, but they have been a friend to me and I want to be a friend to them. Versus, I mean, I hate to say it, but like, versus Meredith Marks, who's like making choices with bad actors. And I mean that in all of the ways because of a long term vendetta revenge plan. And to me, like, I do think Heather believes that Jen needs a friend. I do think that Heather looks at Jen as someone who's very complicated and done bad things. But Heather feels like she doesn't want to leave this person's side, regardless of how you feel about that, versus Meredith, who's like, you'll do. Yeah, you got a lot of shit that I called out last season. Do I think you're like a bad person? But have you said I fucked half of New York? P.S. Like, Jen has. That's where Lisa Barlow said she got that information. So like, maybe think about that a little bit. But like, there's a different...
Are you suggesting that Meredith's friendship with Mary Cosby last season with Mary was... at my all mind. Unbelievable and organic, or that oh, any Meredith. or that anything on her social media is unbelievable and inorganic.
I mean,
those filters are they must have to go to the chiropractor with all the carrying and lifting they're doing.
I'm gonna tell you what, I'm gonna be first in line for Meredith Marks's I Heart Half of New York collection when that comes out. It's on pre-sale right now, which I don't entirely understand, but like when that comes out in 6 to 8 years, when Jen Shaw is halfway through her term, I am going to be so excited to wear my little I Heart Half of New York t-shirt and hoodie because it's so funny. It's such a smart idea. It's honestly so smart.
I have one other question about Salt Lake while I have you here.
Okay. And then we'll go back to sending each other voice notes 24/7.
Perfect. Does you have to have a notarized letter to leave a church? Is that what happens?
Yeah. I mean, guys, according to Judaism, we just don't go to temple until we go again. So like, this is a very different... I mean, this is, can I just sidebar?
Or you just get excommunicated for like fucking your best friend's husband. Like, that's pretty much your stamp right there. That's like your signature.
Unless, I
mean... Or have sex with a gay person. Like, boom, you're out.
Or they're like, thank you for doing this public service since gays don't exist. Are you kidding?
Because it was a
bonus.
It was also a priest. Oh, hey-o! But go on, sidebar.
Oh, my God. Can I just say... No, I'm not even going to say it. I was going to share a story, but I'll tell you offline. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it.
Well, because, yeah, no, my question really was just, did notaries exist back in the 1200s or whenever this religion was formed? I know nothing about this religion, and I've also watched Salt Lake for 3 seasons, so yay, representation. I don't know. Is that...
I mean, it does get into that weird area of, like, when Whitney showed up to her meeting at HQ with the elders, and they were like, so listen, you did this thing that would summarily get you thrown out, but there's a man involved and we don't want him to be punished, since even though all women are bad. So we're going to keep you for now. But if you weren't married, that would not be great, which is wild. That's wild.
And do you buy that, or you just think, oh, this woman is on television and we really need her?
What do you mean?
Well,
do
I mean,
do I buy what?
Do you buy the fact that they would want to keep her strictly for that reason? Or do you think they go, oh, wait, this woman is on television and we don't want to lose her for that reason?
Well, I mean, this took place many years ago. She's been married to her now husband for a decade. This was her ex-husband.
Oh, I thought this was just, this wasn't hot off the presses. All right.
I don't
her backstory.
Think so. I think
I guess
Justin
I didn't watch every episode
like
of the first...
I mean, I don't know, but I don't think that the Church of Latter-day Saints is like, wow, we're getting so much great publicity with Heather Gay writing a book called Bad Mormon. Let's keep this woman in as long as we can. I think it's more connected to what Heather herself said as well, which was like, they want their tithe. So,
yeah.
But I mean, you know, I don't know. I identify very much as a Jew because I literally am one, but also like the cultural community aspect of it versus the religious one. But like, I'm a Reformed Jew. We're just here for a good time, not a long time. So it's like, we're not, I can't imagine it, but I also, there are across the board, including in subsets of Judaism, incredibly conservative environments that are overwhelmingly misogynistic and anti-woman, where
as
women
in
are
every religion really.
As in every religion, but I think it also gets into the, if the core aspect of your religion has these tenets involved, if it's not a subset but is in fact the framework of the religion itself, I think that's complicated. But I would like to hear them discuss this, Whitney and Heather, if they can stand to be in the same room together, and Lisa Barlow, who has discussed in interviews wanting to show more of her experience as a Mormon, which I think would be fascinating. I would be curious to see a conversation with those three. Maybe we will at the, you know, forthcoming reunion, because I think that you can all have different experiences and they can all be very true. You know, the Whitney, I mean, getting a notary, I mean, I would just stop going to fucking church, you know, like that's telling you a lot about how strict their guidelines were and how focused they were seemingly on control for some parishioners, or maybe for all.
Yes. Indeed, religion, everyone's best friend.
Well, listen, before we say shalom, which means hello, goodbye, and peace, tell the AGs where they can follow you on social and slide
they
into your DMs.
Can follow into my DMs at James LaRosa. And that's all there is to that.
Love that. And guys, I got so many of your incredible satchels of gold, of course, named in honor of her holiness.
Whoops.
Her Holiness Kelly
Hot
Clorn
mic moment. Hot mic moment.
Her Holiness Kelly Clorn Ben Simone from Scary Island, or your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns about all things housewives and more. You can slide into my DMs on Instagram and send me your long form satchels. Just let me know your first name and town when you do so, or email thesis statements, which I truly love, the longer the better, to andysgirlsshow@gmail.com. I'm going to be doing a satchel spectacular. My last Patreon episode, which was a Q&A about BravoCon, was 90 minutes long. I am concerned for myself about the length of this satchel spectacular that I'm going to record in the next couple days, because I got some fucking doozy satchels of gold from you guys about Beverly Hills, a lot about Salt Lake City and Potomac. I'm excited to deep dive them, and you can listen to that upcoming satchel spectacular bonus episode by joining the Andy's Girls Patreon, the number one way to support the pod. You get exclusive bonus episodes and so much more. patreon.com/andysgirls. Link as always in the show notes for this episode. And again, follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. James, who are you gonna be for Halloween?
A curmudgeon. I don't care about that holiday. I don't. I don't want anything that encourages children to come to my home.
It's probably not the worst thing. Are you going to ask me what I'm going to be?
Oh, sorry. Right. Reciprocal conversation. Sarah, what are you going to be for Halloween?
I am also going to be a curmudgeon who doesn't want children to come to my home place of residence. But I was thinking a little bit today and really had a feeling of upset about the fact that my parents did not take photos of a Halloween costume that my brother had and that I then had for many years growing up in Rhode Island, and how upset I am that photograph does not any longer exist, because I actually think it's one of the smartest costumes a person could have, something I wasn't suggested by my brother or myself, but I was for many years garbage. My father bought a new trash can, cut out the bottom, attached a handle to the lid, and I was like adorable little blonde child with banana curls, wore all black, and I would walk to the door of a house, press the buzzer, hide in the trash can, and when someone answered, I would pop pop out and say trick or treat.
You'd
and
say, I think that's I'm trash.
I am trash. Don't you know it? And in about 15 years, it's going to become even more true. And then I would want to surprise family friends. And we lived in Rhode Island. So it's like, are you really going to walk through neighborhoods? Like, what? So we would drive to specific family friends' houses. And I would rise out of the garbage trash. I just think that's an iconic costume. I'm so upset I don't have a photo of it.
Well,
so
I think that you can recreate it. And I think that you should send it to me because I want that to be my picture when you call me. Just trash is calling me.
Yeah, well, according to some of the iTunes reviews that people leave, apparently they see that costume every time they listen. What a gift it is to be a female content creator in this world. Guys, on that note, hope you all have a safe and fun Halloween, if that's something people love it. And I just think that's great. But I am anti-Halloween and I'm anti-New Year's. And that is just my truth.
I'm pro-Halloween candy. But yeah, candy, yes.
I mean, you can get candy any, it's not like it's special. Aside from candy corn, you can get that candy any day you want.
I see. Look, there you go. Let's just move on to Thanksgiving. Well, I don't like Thanksgiving either.
Oh, I do like, I am annoyed at the idea of traveling for Thanksgiving, but it is in fact a very nice holiday. And I do love myself a gluten-free stuffing.
I just could have Christmas every day.
That's nothing for me. It's the worst. It's the worst day of the. I'm gonna go to a movie and get Chinese food. What you guys are?
But that's
having
still
a great...
beautiful. That's still
no,
wonderful.
It's not. No,
Chinese
we don't get
food?
A fucking
East
no,
Coast shout, Chinese
no.
food.
Shout out to all the Jews out there who desperado wanted a Hanukkah bush, which was absolutely declined by their parents. I understand it. I respect that decision. An ex-boyfriend actually gave me a Christmas tree as an adult, but then I was too lazy to decorate it. But I did appreciate the effort. Guys, on that note, well, it was like a little Patreon after show the last 5 minutes. You guys, wow, you got that for free. On that note, hope you're all doing okay, and we will chat with you soon.
Bye-bye. Bye, Crash. Bye.